Welcome to Mic'd Up with Sahara. I'm your host, Sahara Destin. And today I have a special episode for you guys. I got to sit down with two amazing players from the Atlanta Gladiators, Joey and Tyler. We're diving into their journey, the wild moments in hockey, and their advice for young athletes. You don't want to miss this. So the first question is, can you like tell me a little bit of like your background and how you started hockey and why?
For me, I started playing when I was 5 years old, and I come from a family that has no hockey background. So my cousin, who's 2 years older than me, just happened to pick up hockey through a friend, and I would go watch his games, and then I fell in love with it, and shortly after, then I was on skates. So that's how I got into the sport of hockey, and then just loved it and carried it all the way through high school, university, and now pro hockey. Pretty fortunate that my cousin's passion got me into it, and then I have a younger brother as well, so it got him into it, and then all three of us were fortunate enough to play at the Division I level. So
that's good.
I know Tyler's got a pretty opposite background of how he got into hockey, so it'll be pretty cool for you.
So I started skating when I was like 2, maybe 3. It was the first time I was in skates. My dad played professional hockey for 19 years, so I just kind of grew up around the rinks. So like I'm always my childhood was always, you know, I'm in the locker room, I'm helping out with the sticks. So I kind of been around the game, and like it's kind of like I've loved it since I was like the last memory I can think of.
Oh, that's great.
So I feel really fortunate that I've been able to just be passionate about it, and I'm able to do something that I love, and then it gets me into it. So I've been doing it since I was a kid. I haven't stopped. Don't plan on stopping. So
that's great. I wish I was like passionate about something like that. That's fun. Okay. Next question. What path did you take to reach like the professional level?
Yeah. So hockey is traditionally different from most other sports, where most other sports you have your high school and then you just go straight to college, and that's how you get to the pro ranks. For hockey, there's a whole bunch of different avenues. For us in the Northeast, the big one was going to high school, and then you play something called junior hockey, and then from there you go on to the college ranks and then the pro ranks. And basically, the way I describe junior hockey is basically you're taking some high school students will do like a graduate year or post-grad year before they go into college. Junior hockey is basically a way of doing a postgraduate year of high school to get ready for college, but instead of doing the school part, you're just doing the hockey part, and you can do it until you're 21. So your college freshman can be anywhere from 18 to 21 years old, which is very different from other sports. So for me personally, I went to a boarding school called Loomis Chaffee, and I went there for my last 2 years of high school, and then following that for my postgraduate or junior hockey season, I was lucky only to do 1 year, and I did that in Nebraska for a team in the USHL as a league. And then following that, I did 2 years at the University of Vermont, and then transferred and did 3 at Quinnipiac University.
Okay, that's cool. That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah. For me, I went a little different route than Joey. I went 6 years total of junior hockey, but I started when I was in high school. So I did from all 4 years of high school, I played junior hockey instead of my high school team. And then I did the 2 years of junior hockey before college, before university. I lived everywhere. I lived in like Des Moines, Iowa, Muskegon, Michigan, Youngstown, Ohio, and Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
All different spots, and then that got me to college, and then from there I played 4 years at Merrimack, and then turned professional following that season.
So okay.
A little different route.
Yeah.
Okay, so you talked about like how your dad influenced you and how your older cousin, right, influenced you. Is there anyone else that like influenced you to like do professional hockey or anything?
For me, it's my brother. My brother also plays professional hockey. He's 3 years younger than me. He's a kind of rival team in our league, which is kind of cool. So we've always just grown up, like my passion comes from my dad, but it's like he was with me growing up. Like we were old best friends, like doing everything together. And it was like either street hockey, video games was hockey. We did this thing called knee hockey where you play like in your basement. just like a bunch of different things, but all through my brother. So that definitely pushed my passion for it. And I would say it's like kind of like the three of us. It's been like since I was so young, that's where like the passion stems from. So credit to him too. I should have mentioned
him too. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, definitely. For me, like I said, my cousin got me into the game, but more of the passion that I carried throughout my career came from my parents and my brother and my sister. At the house, it was like same with Tyler, just always competitive. Me and my brother always fighting over whatever and always just playing street hockey and knee hockey. And we both wanted the best for each other. So it was, I guess we're always, I guess, driving or pushing each other to be the best. And then it actually stemmed in my sister playing ice hockey. She tried it out for a little bit just because of us playing. And then also I think what kept me with hockey is just the passion that my parents had. It's not only supported me and my brother, but also I've been able to learn a lot of life lessons that they've been able to pass through the sport. I would say my dad's competitiveness is a huge trait that allowed me to have the success I've had in hockey.
I have a question. What is knee hockey?
It's basically these plastic sticks. I want to say a couple feet long. Mm-hmm. And there's, depending on what, like how you grow up, different people have different rules. There's no like set rules, but you can either play on your knees rather than standing. Okay. Or a lot of people play like standing, but like crouched.
Really okay, crouched. That's what I thought.
It's like it's a version of like street hockey, but you can just basically play like right here.
In the hallway.
Yeah.
So, wait, like, what's street hockey?
Street hockey is just like, you have your regular hockey sticks, and instead of a puck, you usually use like a roller hockey ball, which is just like a plastic ball, and then you still have nets. It's like same thing, but you just, if you're playing on like a organized level of street hockey, it would be like an actual rink, but instead of ice, it's just concrete or a sport court.
Okay.
Some people call that ball hockey. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a Canadian term for it, for street hockey. And then knee hockey, those are like very popular when. Like I wouldn't say if you're in your adult years, many adults are playing. It's definitely a kid's game.
Yeah.
Because you're like playing in like the hotels, in like the hallways.
Yeah.
At like hockey tournaments going up and stuff.
It's a fun activity to do, like when you're not actually playing your ice hockey games, but you're hanging out with your teammates at a young age.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Next question. So I'm gonna be asking about like your daily life and preparation. So like, what's a typical like training day look like?
So if we have basically how I look at it in pro hockey, we have four different possible days. The most popular one is probably a game day. So a game day, I guess, is, you know, you wake up. I like to cook breakfast before I go to the rink. I go to the rink. We have a, you know, good, like, I like in there 30 minutes to an hour, sometimes more, depending on how my body's feeling for preparation. But it's more of, like, chit-chat with the guys, have a coffee. Stretch, roll out. You can get some extra work done in the gym, the training rooms, stuff like that. And you're basically just leading up to morning meeting, where we'll either review previous game, go over some systematic work. It could be a pre-scout on the team we're playing, which is probably the most common case for our video. Then most of the time, jump on the ice for like a, basically, we call it morning skates, just like a mini practice. It's literally, I would say no longer than 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty quick. Just to get, you know, your legs moving, basically get people out of bed feeling good. Get off there, and then from there for the rest of the day, it's really like up to you. So like for me, I get home, I like to relax for a bit, have a glass of water, maybe a peanut butter sandwich. Then I prep a whole meal for my pregame meal. So I like to cook my chicken and pasta and all that stuff. And then I'll usually go down for a nap, wake up, get changed, go to the rink, have your game. So then the game's at night. Then we have like practice days. So practice days are like basically the same thing in the morning, but you're done at 1 o'clock at the latest, 2 o'clock. And that's just everything up to the practice. But when you get off, there might be a workout after. Most guys usually stretch or get treatment or something, but then you're done for the day. So like our work day on a practice day, I like to say it's 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., which is like pretty nice, to be honest. And we're able to just come to the pool. Some guys like to go golfing. Other people have, some side hustles that they do and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Then you have our travel days. So, like, if we're going on the road, whether we're flying or busing, we're probably going to pack the bus in the morning. We may or may not skate before. We'll get on, travel either most of the day, throughout the day, we'll get to our destination. But once we get to our city of destination, let's say we're going to Savannah. We get to Savannah by dinner time. Like, you're all set. Like, you're on your own. Usually the guys will go get a meal together, explore the city, and then you kind of get a shutter down at night. And then I think, did I miss any?
Off day. That's what today is for.
Yeah, today, off day. You can do whatever you want.
The only thing guys would do on off days is go get treatment if you're injured. Our athletic trainer will set a time. Like today it was at 11 o'clock, and say probably there was 5 to 10 guys in there just get an extra treatment and work done, just to get their body feeling right. Some guys might not have played as much and want to go and get an extra workout in, or sometimes you can hop on the ice, and then other guys are in who maybe played a lot or are hurt, just there to get extra treatment and just getting your body feeling good for the rest of the week leading into this weekend's games.
Okay, that's nice. It's pretty short. I thought it would be longer than that, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah, it's different. Like football, I know they have they'll do practices and their routines are way different. Walkthrough, video sessions. You do your scout meeting per your for your position and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool at the pro level because, in college, it's so much more structure. So there's a lot more, you have your mandatory workouts, mandatory practices, mandatory film. Then you have to study. It's a lot more structure. Where the pro level is a lot more
it's on you.
It's on you to be, we call it being a good pro. So some people have different routines and different things. But at the end of the day, the expectation is you're going to show up to work. And you're going to, get your job done.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll find someone else to do your job.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And then I was asking, this is, really interesting. Do you guys have, any, superstitions or, rituals?
I have a routine, but I don't have any superstitions. So, if I like to do the same thing on game day, for example. But I'm not, if I mess up or if I don't do something, I'm not going to be, freaking out. It's okay. I just adapt. But I would say, I tape my stick the same way. And after I tape my game stick, I like to, do some visualization. But I wouldn't say it's any superstitions, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it, routine versus superstitions. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I used to have a few superstitions, playing the same songs and doing my warm-up at the same exact time and, putting my gear on at the same time. But By this point, it's just not sustainable. And I was lucky that when I was at Quinnipiac, we had a sports psychologist, Devin Markle was her name. And she was kind of on a lot of us about understanding the difference between both of those. And the key thing that got me to kind of change that superstitions and more routine base was what if the bus breaks down on the way to a game? And usually we're at a game anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours before. And what if you're there an hour before and now your whole game's thrown off because you can't do your superstitions? What are you going to go to? So now, honestly, my routine is pretty relaxed. Like Tyler said, I'll tape my stick and do my visualizations. But with all the games we play, I usually, before we go on the ice for our on-ice warm-ups, my routine can change based on the game, based on how I'm feeling. I was injured the other day, so my warm-up was a little shorter than what it usually would be. But when the light switch turns on for me is after on-ice warm-ups, I'll try to kind of settle in, visualize, think about all the situations that I'll be in for the game, and mentally get ready that way. So I'm able to turn a light switch on once the on-ice warm-up ends.
Okay, that's good. I thought you guys would say, you would make sure you have, the same socks every game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's definitely guys, though, that have superstitions, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There's a famous one of, Sidney Crosby, who's, a future Hall of Famer. He plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He has, a ton of superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's a funny story of, there was a rookie who he told a story to. And then that game, Crosby had 2 goals and 2 assists. And he ended up going on a 14 or 18 game point streak.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so superstitious that he told that kid the story every time at the exact same time on every game day.
Oh.
And the kid didn't know. And he'd be Sid, you've already told me this. But he had to tell him because he was superstitious.
Wait, what if the kid wasn't there?
That's a good question.
Well, the thing is,
yeah.
He's he's an all-star player, captain of the team, so they would basically, he would tell management, like, he's staying here.
Yeah, like, if he's on, like, an 18-game point streak and they were going to, like, trade him or get rid of him or send him down or sit him out, I'm pretty sure he would be like, no, like, he's got to stay. And he probably has that pull.
Oh, absolutely. He
definitely has that pull.
That's silly. Okay, my next question. How would you describe the team dynamic off ice?
Yeah, I would say every team's different. So, like, for us, I think we're a pretty close team. So on, like, depending on the day, like, practice days, I think a lot more guys are independent. Just they, you know, whether their wives live here, girlfriends lived here, whether they're picking up a side job, whatever their case may be, they like to play video games. So then you kind of fall into those pockets of, like, what you have. So for example, today we did Catan. It's a board game. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a group of, I would say, like, 8 of us are in a group chat, and we just text it if someone wants to play, and we'll get together and kind of play and hang out. So you fall yourself, I find you fall into certain situations where, like, I wouldn't say it's clicky. It's more just, you know, you're with everyone at the rink. We're really tight. And then when our goalie loves to do Legos. You know, I don't play with Legos. So, that's where we'll have separation. But I would say, like, as a team, we get together a lot. You know, after a weekend, we'll try to get together to hang out and just kind of reflect on the weekend. Try to do that at least once to twice, if not 3 times a week. Last week we did a cookout just to get together, so it's kind of like a family dynamic. I would say, like, everyone, you're gonna have people that get on your nerves and you're gonna have fights someday, but at the end of the day, like, we all love each other. We're all trying to, like, work towards a common goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And whatnot. So
yeah, team culture is, like Tyler said, really interesting, something that we all love about the game. It's also, I guess we're all really fortunate about in hockey, is it's really hard to find bad people.
Yeah.
So usually the locker room dynamic is great. And like he said, for us, there's a lot of guys that have similar interests, and for guys that don't have similar or that have different interests, like, they'll be able to find something in common to be able to hang out with the group.
I would say it's pretty common that, like, the teams that are tight find the interests that align.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you want to be a good, successful team in sports, I really do feel like you have to be very close off the ice.
Yeah. You got to trust the guy next to you.
You're going to war every weekend. Like, I got to trust that, you know, at the end of the game, Joey's going to do his job, and maybe I didn't communicate it, but he knows what to do, and I know what to do. So, like, there's got to be that trust factor.
Yeah.
I think it's built off the ice.
Yeah.
More so. Not more so, but just as much as on the ice and being in the drills and the games and whatnot.
Yeah. Like he said, like, it's important that you know that the guy next to you has full faith in you doing your job and vice versa. And I would say a lot of championship caliber teams kind of all have that common trait where it's a brotherhood. And guys are willing to make personal sacrifices for the betterment of the team. And I think those traits start away from the rink and form relationships with the guys. And all those little things that add up to the big goal. I'm trying to think.
No, that's good. No. That's good. You're good. Okay, my next question.
I know, I lose train of thought sometimes.
I lose my train of thought, and then I'm like, it's stuck in my head, and I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. What's your, like, most memorable moment in your hockey career so far?
I'll start.
I think I know yours.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough my last year of college at Quinnipiac, we won a national championship, and that was an amazing moment. But what made it even more special is that I was able to win it with my brother.
That's cute.
Yeah. So that was my 5th year in college, and he was a freshman. So it was, the coaching staff was able to bring him in, and I was really thankful for them to be able to do that and give us that opportunity to play together, but then also to win is something that is a really special family moment, but then it's also a special moment for a smaller university like that. Kind of some of the other questions you asked about, like team culture, and Quinnipiac's probably the epitome of that for what I've seen in college. And it was really special not only seeing my family, like I have a family picture right here actually on the glass, after we won.
That is so cute. cute.
Yep. But then we had probably 50 to 100 hockey alums come down, and those guys are the guys that kind of set the culture for us. So it was special seeing guys like that. I remember one of our teammates who graduated the year before was crying on the glass with us. And he had an opportunity to come back and didn't, but he wanted to change the thing for us to win that championship. And everything that just comes from that. I've gotten asked that question a lot, mm-hmm. and I can talk about it for an hour and go all different directions.
Yeah.
It's like so hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go in that direction about the journey that it takes to get there and all the sacrifices from the group and all the adversity that you faced. Like, that was a common – that was kind of our theme that year, was just embrace the grind and attack adversity were our two themes that year. And I feel like with championship teams and culture, you always have to go through a lot, and that group went through a lot to get to that championship. So I was really fortunate to have a brotherhood like that I'll be able to keep in touch with forever. And then also for the university and being part of an alumni base like that, where we're going to be with those guys every summer for the rest of my life doing stuff. I was actually, yes, 2 days ago, we're doing a Lake Placid trip for the class of 2013 to my class, 23. And I think we'll have like 50, 60 hockey alums there for close to a week. So, like, you think about the championship, and then you think about winning it for guys like that who didn't have the chance to win it, because our university in 2013 and 2016 made the national championship game, and they kind of fell short. So that also made it special, like being in the class, I was able to overcome it for those guys. But just all around, whichever way you take it, that's definitely my most memorable moment.
That's amazing. That's, like, actually great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sorry, it was long. But
no, you're good. That's good.
I can listen to that all the time. Well, mine's not as, I didn't win a championship in college, unfortunately. I do love my guys in college, but for me, it was actually my second year professional. We had this huge rivalry with Fort Wayne when I was in Wheeling, West Virginia, and we had a grind of a playoff series, and we ended up winning Game 7 in overtime in their building, and that was one of the coolest feelings and emotional roller coasters I've ever felt since playing the game. It kind of like just brought being a kid up to that moment in my career. Like, that's like what you dream about, is like Game 7 overtime. Like, you talk about it as a kid. I know my brother and I did all the time. Like, anytime we were playing some type of game, it was always like must win overtime. Mm-hmm. And like to be in that moment, it was special, and it made it even more special to do it against like a rival team in like a hostile environment. With we were so close that year, we ended up coming short and didn't win a championship that year. But for me, it was just like a small taste of victory that I hadn't tasted in a while, mm-hmm. and it was something that, like, it just drives me every day. Like, that now, that I want to taste that again. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to have a similar story to Sippy here at some point in the future. So
yeah.
Okay, this is like off topic, but why do you guys get so aggressive on the ice, like fighting each other, and the refs, they don't do anything unless you guys like fall?
Tyler got in a fight yesterday.
I literally got in a fight yesterday, yeah. So my hands are a little banged up. I always, to explain it the easiest way, I always say one, fighting's allowed in our sport. So mm-hmm. we're one of the few, I think it's us in like martial arts. Yeah. MMA is like the only sports allowing fighting. Mm-hmm. So it's in the rule book. You can fight, you'll get a 5-minute penalty, you're right back on the ice.
So you guys can fight?
It's allowed. So that's why the refs don't break it up. Now, you know, there's different philosophies depending on the league and level. There's definitely some, like in college you cannot fight, mm-hmm. but in the professional level we can fight. So I always say there's three reasons on why people fight. Mm-hmm. You don't like the person that you're going at it with. You're trying to like change momentum maybe. Mm-hmm. And then there's the third is like, I like to call it like that. That's we call them the heavyweights. Like, that's their job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in hockey, you have your goal scorers, you have your, stay at home defensemen, whatever the, you know, the roles are. One of the most like, I would say appreciated and like respected roles is like the heavyweight, the fighting role. Mm-hmm. Because those guys' job is like, they're going out there knowing they're going to fight almost every shift. that they get, and they're strictly doing it for, you know, pride for their team and for their fans, and it's pretty fun to watch when you see like two heavyweights going at it.
Do you guys like get scared?
When you're in the moment, I think the adrenaline rush is so high. Mm-hmm. But before, like, say before a game or leading up to it, like, if you know you have to fight, or, like, even if you're not or just happen to think about fighting, like, then, yeah, the nerves are definitely there. And I mean, I've only gotten one fight, so I can't speak on much, but I'll listen to a lot of hockey podcasts, and most of the guys would talk about the anxiety that they had before games knowing that they would have to fight. But then once you get into that moment, then the adrenaline and everything that comes with it takes over.
Okay. I did have one that I can think of in my career. It was my rookie year. We had a back-to-back with Indy, and this kid wanted to ask me to fight in the first game with, like, 5 minutes left. But we were losing, like, 6-3. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, like, I'm not fighting you. Like, there's no need to fight right now. Like, like, we're down 3 goals with 5 minutes left. That's not why I would fight, for example. So he asked the next game in warm-ups if I would fight him that game. And he's like, his family was in town, so he wanted to fight because his family was in town. And he also said he was, like, trying to make the playoff roster, so he wanted to show the coach he's willing to, you know, do whatever it takes. So I respected that, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a fight, but, you know, let's make it early, let's get it over with. So my anxiety kicked in, like, after warm-ups, like, I know I'm fighting now, which I have a lot of fights, but I'm not a fighter. It's just more, for me, it's more spur of the moment, or, you know, I'm trying to change the momentum. You know, and there's your odd occasion where, like, for example, this one, I knew, like, I'm fighting in this scenario. So you're a little nervous because you're like, you know, I'm fighting. I have to go into a fight. So,
yeah.
But when you're, like, I had one last night. There's no nerves because it's just like, I was like mad.
No.
Like, it just like kind of escalated, boils over. I ended up fighting a former college teammate of mine. But that's the cool thing about the sport of hockey is, like, you know, I play against my brother. I fought an ex-teammate of mine. Like, it's not personal. It's just like we're at work, and then, like, when we get off the ice, I can go see them down the hall and catch up and ask how their family's doing and
that's crazy.
And whatnot. So it's just like there's like that respect level within the sport of with the fighting that it's like. Although I would say there's sometimes you get personal vendettas that happen, but not as common in the sport, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question: what is your guys' like biggest challenge?
Honestly, for me, my biggest challenge is improving every day and pushing myself to be a better version of myself as the day before. And within that, is, you know, I want to play in the National Hockey League. And yes, I'm in pro hockey, but it's still a very long distance and journey away. So that's my biggest thing that I'm kind of dealing with, is just taking the little victories of each day, making sure I'm improving. Not just as a hockey player, but just as a person as well. So that each day I'm becoming better and better and a better version of myself is kind of how I go about it.
Yeah, it's an answer a lot of guys would say maybe in different ways. The way I would say it, just be probably consistency is the biggest challenge. Sometimes it could be my play on the ice. Sometimes it could be stuff away from the rink. But I think in today's age, with all the resources that we have, and with how competitive the sport is, and I guess also too with technology now, you can see what everyone's doing. So with accumulation of all those things, it's important to, like Tyler said, be day-to-day driven, making sure that you're doing what you can to improve. Especially in pro hockey, there's a lot of games, there's a physical and mental grind, so it's really difficult to continue to have that consistency on a daily basis. So I think the journey itself sometimes could pose as a challenge, but then also at the end of the finish line, it could be the biggest reward too. Mm-hmm. So,
another question: do you guys like when you guys have like stress or like anxiety attacks? Like, what do you guys do to like regulate that?
I've only had like maybe 1 to 3 anxiety attacks in my life, and I always found I would go like try to find an ice sheet and go shoot pucks or stick handle. So, and even then, I don't even know if I've had like major anxiety attacks or anything. For me, when I'm playing hockey and when I'm, whether it's in season or I'm training for it or I'm working, working with kids, whatever it may be, if it's related to hockey, it instantly relieves stress and like anxiety for me. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm doing something I love. I know that there's gonna be bad days and good days. For me, it's I'm just appreciative of what I'm doing and that it's available to me. So if I have that going for me, in some aspect, it could be as simple as just watching a game, having a conversation about the game. It instantly, for me, it relieves so much stress and anxiety because I just remind myself of the positive of I'm doing something I love, or I'm even just having a conversation about something I love, that will instantly calm me down if I'm ever, about anything in life. I could have get in a car accident, I'm everyone's safe, but I'm frustrated because now I got to worry about the car. I could just maybe go home and watch a highlighter or go shoot some pucks or something within the sport of hockey for me, honestly, helps me just kind of calm down.
Yeah, perspective is really important. I would say, I've never had a serious anxiety attack, which I'm very fortunate for. For me, I would say any stress and anxiety that comes from hockey is something that I'm good now at leaving at the rink. Growing up, I used to kind of take hockey with me everywhere I went. So if hockey didn't go well, then it would affect my day-to-day life, and I would be thinking about it nonstop. And when I was younger, that was a little more healthier because I think it drove my competitiveness and it made me the player and person that I am today. But now I've been able to realize that it's not healthy for me. And I would say that there are times, for example, yesterday when things don't go well on the ice and you can spur your frustration in different ways, and I decided to break my stick on the bench. So that will happen sometimes. But that's just, I think it just comes from a natural competitive place of wanting to do well and win and do your job and be there for your teammates and all that stuff. But then like Tyler said, when you leave the rink, it's important to have something else to take your mind off it, because it is stressful if you bring it back with you. And for me, I would say when my stress is highest, music's something that really helps kind of bring my heart rate down and help me reset. Someone like just having a conversation like this, or having a talk with my parents where I can just kind of just speak my frustration to them, sometimes helps as well. Just getting outside, like a beautiful day like today,
yeah,
is another way that is I guess that would relieve stress. So I'd say those three are just the first ones that come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. Okay, now next question. Have you seen any sport change since you started playing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the game's getting a lot more faster. I think it's just like a different, the style has changed a lot. Years ago, even when I started in the league, it was very physical. It's so hard to describe. It's just like a different style of game. So where the game has just changed in regards to how it's played, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess what stems from that would be the speed. The game is getting faster. It seems to be getting younger, at least at the professional level. So, things that, I'm trying to think of something I could bring up that relates. Like, there's less players that only fight, for example. Mm-hmm. That's a hot topic that's been out there. Fighting's still allowed, but the traditional enforcer where they only fought and that's all they did, they're still in the league and they still play pro hockey, but it's definitely much more rare nowadays.
Yeah, the enforcers now have to be able to play.
They have to be able to play
a meaningful role other than just fighting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so back then, they wouldn't even know how to play hockey? They would just fight?
They wouldn't know. They definitely knew how to play hockey, but there was a skill separation, I would say, mm-hmm. where... even back in the 90s, let's say, for example, there was guys, Bob Probert, who played for the Detroit Red Wings, he was an NHL all-star, he could score and everything, but his role was strictly, he's going to fight, and he's going to be the toughest guy in the league. You don't see that focus as much. Definitely still there, and there are definitely players in every level that still have those accolades. But the roster makeup is a lot more, oh, we're going to take the skilled, fast guy mm-hmm. over this guy can fight, mm-hmm. for example, just on that topic.
Yeah. But then maybe 20 years ago, it would be the other way around.
Then you just take like the gear, for example, and like the preparation of being, you know, being a pro athlete and the nutrition value and all the other aspects that go into it. That's improved over the years. Even as I think every year I notice more and more focus on, you know, sleep and nutrition and things that you maybe didn't hear about as much 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that in effect has changed the game and made it like it. You have to do more to, like, keep up, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I know back in the day, guys would have, like, beers on airplanes in the NHL. And, like, that's a very uncommon thing, I think, nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still teams that do it, but it's not every team doing it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more focus on, like, the being healthy. It's not just hockey. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Tyler hit the nail on the head there. I had a point, but now I'm just like... Yeah,
sometimes I ramble.
It's rolling off my tongue right now. They talked about...
goaltending, like the pads, like the equipment's gone different. Was that where you're going to go?
No, but that's also, yeah.
Like the equipment, like the sticks get better. The goalie gear, like, has gone bigger, so it's become harder to score, I would say.
Yeah, but with the gear getting bigger, also the hockey sticks are lighter and whippier, so...
Yeah.
You're able to have more control and you're able to shoot the puck harder. And then with that too, the gear's gotten a little bigger and more protective because you got, with the puck flying that fast and everything moving at a high rate of speed, you gotta be able to protect the players as well. What I was gonna stem on is kind of like how, like, I guess technology does affect nutrition and stuff, but I think it affects how the development of hockey players happens nowadays. Because I think when you're younger, like, you could make the National Hockey League by strictly fighting and being a tough guy. But growing up now, it's all about who's scoring the goals and who's having the assists. And that's all that matters growing up nowadays. So I would say those guys are extremely talented, and that's why the scoring's going up and all that stuff. But then also, too, that's also why there's not as many guys that are fighting and maybe embracing the role of being a checker and being a guy that's doing the stuff that doesn't matter on the score sheet.
You wouldn't notice it, yeah. I would think, to the common fan.
Yeah.
Little things.
Yeah. So I think that's why, like, the game's not as physical as it used to be, because they're not telling kids nowadays, hey, like, it's important to go finish checks. And, like, that's not something that's got to impress people
at a young age. Off that, too, like, with the technology, like, kids aren't, I find, sitting down and watching the entire game, so that's where they're picking up on the hockey IQ of the little details that are in the game, where it's a lot of, like, I have access to YouTube and I can go watch the highlights, which is just showing the goals. So now, like, you know, we always joke in hockey, like, a lot of the goals that are shown, a lot of, like, the, you know, the highlight reel goals, but they don't happen as common as, you know, you shoot a puck and it's a scrum in front of the net and you bang in a rebound while getting hit in the side of the ribs and, you know, it just trickles barely over the line. Like, you don't see those, I feel like, in your highlight reels on your, through the videos, through technology, through social media. So it's a lot more, what, like Joey said, like, presence on scoring goals and being a good skater,
yeah.
And, you know, handling the puck right. So you're losing, like, that other element of the physicality. Honestly, like, embracing, like, the roles of, like, the little things of, like, what it takes to win, honestly. Because I do find that the game is different from, like, regular season to playoffs. Like, it's just a different animal. So certain players will thrive in a regular season type style of the game. But when it gets to playoffs, it doesn't always translate. Where I would say the counter to that is the guys who play a playoff style year-round are prepared for playoffs, but now you're more vulnerable to probably, you know, you got to be better with your, you know, injury prevention and, you know, how you're taking care of your body, because you're probably checking a lot more and sacrificing your body a lot more, where you might fall yourself into different issues throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, that's great. You guys answered my second question, which is great. Okay.
Right on.
Okay, so now it's like future aspirations and like goals and stuff. What goals do you guys have for your career in the next few years?
Pretty similar goals.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think we both we want to win. That's probably the
short-term goal right now.
We're looking to win this season. That's our goal. So to making playoffs and making a run. But in the next couple of years, like I just want to keep improving and keep trying to climb the ranks in the professional game and seeing where it takes me, while also just appreciating where I'm at the same time, because what we're able to do is a very fortunate career choice, honestly. So just being appreciative of every day being at this level, and being able to say, like, my job is to be a hockey player. You know, I don't have to go to wake up and sit in rush hour traffic and sit behind a desk or do whatever, you know, X, Y, Z, and is. I'm very appreciative that I get to do something I love and able to just, you know, hopefully each year improve and see where it takes me. It's taken both of us to some pretty cool places around the world, and that's something that I really take away from it, like not even in the hockey aspect, is you're able to travel and meet different people and appreciate different cultures and different areas of the world. That it's pretty cool. Like, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
To do.
Pretty much a perfect answer. The only thing I would add, which he hit a little bit too, is that short-term goal is definitely for us to win now. And we're kind of in a playoff race right now, and we're kind of on the outside looking in. So obviously make the playoffs would be a short-term goal, not only for me personally, but for the team. Because that's sometimes where the difference is kind of aligned, is like personal success versus team success. And I've been fortunate winning at a national championship at Quinnipiac. That was my last year of college. And because of our team success, a lot of us guys that graduated got opportunities in the pro ranks that we wouldn't have had if we didn't win a championship. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes where guys don't see the difference between personal and team success. I know when we have the team success here, then the guys will be able to have more opportunities elsewhere following the season because of how well we played as a team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, your guys' answers are, they're like great. They're perfect. So like, what advice would you guys have for like young players who are aspiring to play hockey professionally?
I'll just say enjoy it. I mean, enjoy it. I would say just enjoy it, and I don't know, I'm thinking back to my experiences, and I was really lucky that I was able to play with a lot of great players, but I would say have fun. And then another big one is just do stuff away from hockey. You hear a lot of, I guess nowadays you hear a lot of kids are playing hockey year-round, but all of us growing up, we played all different kinds of sports growing up. And and we all know it's extremely important, and all those traits that you pick up from other sports help you not only become a better athlete, but it also helps you become a better hockey player. And I think nowadays with the kids playing year-round, you get burnt out by the time you get to our age too. So I would say enjoy it, play other sports, and just be a passionate kid and be inspired by wherever, I guess, your journey ends up going.
Yeah, Joey kind of, that's probably what pretty much I would say the same thing. I would definitely add, like, for me, the kids, like, be the hardest worker. Like, yeah. Don't let someone outwork you. That's a controllable. I'm big on, like, control your controllables. So to all the kids out there, like, you may not have the most talent. You may not have the hardest shot or be the fastest player, but you know, if you're the hardest worker, you're going to put yourself in a pretty good opportunity to not only get better, but to be able to make that team or improve each year so you can get to where you want to be and hopefully be able to play pro hockey someday. I think you got to have fun. Like, that's the number one thing. If you're not having fun, then go find something that you do have fun in. It's okay if it's not hockey. And I think especially what Joey said, like, play other sports. Like, go... know, I play tennis in the off season. I put my hockey gear away to this day. So, like, you got to be able to be an athlete, because I think it translates to being a hockey player, where you do see so many kids where they get burnt out playing hockey year-round. It's just, like, it's too much. So just, you know, be passionate about it, want to do it. And with that said, you still should be, like, shooting pucks every day and maybe stick handling and doing little things. But that's got to be stuff you want to do on your own and that you're willing to do in your extra time, while also still having friends and being social and finding different avenues of life, because that will just going to make you a better player as you get older.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. So the next questions. Okay, yeah. Have you guys, like, thought about anything you like to do once your career is over, like playing hockey?
I probably want to coach and then be a GM. That's my goal. So I kind of want to stay in the game. But while I started playing, I started my own clothing line. So I've started to find some other avenues of things I want to do. So that's something that I would want to continue to pursue when I'm done playing. And I personally want to somehow give back to the youth of the game, whether that's running camps or coaching in some regard, or you know, whatever that may be and where that takes me. But I just want to help develop and give kids, you know, show that, help them find their passion and hopefully improve. That's something that I would love to do when I'm done playing one day, which I do now, but I want to continue doing that when I'm done playing as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of going back to the first question, like, hockey's been my passion. I have other passions for sure, but it's always, I think, going to be some part of my life in some aspect. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not a job. Maybe it's as simple as just watching a game. But it's something that I'm always going to have a part of me, for sure. I don't see it ever going away and not loving it or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Hockey is always going to be a foundational part of our lives. For me, professional hockey career, I don't know what I want to do. And I think that's a challenge that a lot of players face. For me, right now, I still want to be prepared for that chapter, because even though I think it's going to be a while away, you never know when you're going to be done, unfortunately. So when I was at school, I got my undergrad in finance and was fortunate enough to do my master's my fifth year. So I started studying for a securities exam, just an entrance one, but it's something that when I'm done playing, if, say, I want to go that route, then I'll have the certification that will help me be more qualified than other candidates. And that's also something that will just keep my mind fresh as well. But then also, too, like, hockey's such a big part of my life, and I think it would be awesome to be continuing working in hockey, following my career, but I don't know what that route would be. So just trying to be well-rounded in different areas, because you never know what opportunities are going to come up. So just got to try to be ready for all of them.
Right. Okay, that's good. Okay, now, like, personal interest. What do you guys do outside of hockey?
If I'm by myself, I usually like to either watch a TV show or a movie, maybe read a book. I love to cook. Mm-hmm. If I'm with the guys and I'm hanging out with them, I usually like play Catan, which is a board game we do, play cards. I like to surround myself with just people with similar, like-minded of myself. So just to see, sometimes it may just be hanging out, and sometimes, you know, we were talking about a business idea last night that we were thinking about. So just that kind of stuff away from the rink. I do love fashion. Mm-hmm. I like looking good in different types of clothing and whatnot. So I like to dabble with that. And then probably just athletics in general. I'm pretty athletic, so I like to, you know, I play tennis and golf and do different things and try to stay pretty active, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's pretty simple. I would say when I'm away from the rink, I love spending time with family, and like watching TV is a pretty common one for everyone nowadays. I would say in the summer, there's primarily when we have our time off, and during that time, I'm either working out and skating, I'm either playing golf, or I'm hanging out with friends, whether that's somewhere close by or me visiting friends or us going away. So pretty fortunate to be around a lot of great people that I'm still able to keep in touch with and hang out with throughout my off time. So pretty simple minded, but I like the routine. This is kind of what I'm going to keep doing.
Okay, great. I have a question for you. What do you want to talk more about your clothing brand and how you like started it and stuff?
Sure. It was my second year pro hockey, and I was kind of looking for a hobby outside of the rink. Kind of going back to when Joey was like, you need to kind of like leave it at the rink. I kind of didn't want to be hockey 24/7. So I was trying to find something. I tried puzzles. I didn't like it. It was very frustrating.
Doing Sudoku right now.
And then I just like kind of did like a brainstorm one day and was like figuring out like what I'm passionate about, and I realized like fashion was something I was passionate about, and it wasn't had anything to do with sports, and that was like kind of excited me. So I had an idea. I kind of went with it. It's called Durva, which is a nickname I got in college. I have a lot of nicknames. But basically what the company represents is just like being the best version of yourself. So our slogan is comfortable clothing, so you be comfortable being yourself. And so I started with just like hoodies, seeing if it would work. I didn't know if it was a successful idea or not. And we sold out both times. We did that twice on inventory. And from there, I kind of realized like, oh, I kind of have something. And it's still a very small and new company, but it's just been exciting to kind of do that. Even like right now, I'm really heavy on the business side of the company. Just learning how to run a business, honestly, correctly, and being efficient in that regard. I really enjoy the creative side, where I'm able to design different, you know, T-shirt ideas and how I want the clothing to look and whatnot. It's kind of hard though because I'm by myself doing it right now, because we're new. And while playing hockey, it's almost more of a hobby than a job. It just happens to be a business, so it's a cool little hobby. So that's kind of how I got it going. It's been going for a few years now. Mm-hmm. Goes pretty well. We do like hoodies, crew necks, hats, and that was all. And baseball jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Which, is there like any collabs you want to do? Like any brands or like stores you want to
go? I haven't thought about it. I do want to do like a golf line eventually. Mm-hmm. And my brother's big into golf, so I kind of been at, you know, picking his brain a bit about different ideas and whatnot. I haven't really thought of collabs, honestly, just because like it's so like I'm during the summer I have a lot of free time to work on it, but during the season it's not, you know, I'm really, really hockey focused. And I definitely still have time to work on it. I just like don't know where it's going, I guess, yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm still it's almost like still a baby to me, and I kind of just want to see it develop and see where it goes. I have been open that I'm very open to any collab, honestly. But I haven't thought of like any specifics on that at all. Yeah.
Okay. And last question: what is that board game that you guys always play? What's it called?
Catan.
Yes, Catan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Settlers of Catan. It's like so. There's resources, wood, wheat, rock, brick, and sheep. And those are basically cards. There's different pieces on the board game, and the board game changes every game. It's little pieces that you rearrange. Each piece has a resource like picture, so a wood picture. And then there's these little numbers that go on them randomly, and you roll the dice. So if I roll the dice and it's a six, any piece that has a six, the number six, and you're built on it, you get that resource. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to explain if you can't see it.
Yeah, I didn't even know where to begin with that, so I'm glad you took
it. Okay, so, and then you have settlements, cities, and roads that you're trying to build. Mm-hmm. Settlements are worth 1 point, cities are worth 2 points. Mm-hmm. You always need two roads between a settlement or city. And there's like, roads are this big, they're little segments. Mm-hmm. So with the resources, there's a little like cheat sheet you have. It tells you how much each resource is needed for the cost of a settlement or a city, for example. Yeah. And you're trying to get to 10 victory points. So settlements are worth one, cities worth two. You know, if I'm counting, Joey has three cities, he's at 6 points, for example. And so it's first to 10. It's a That's really hard to explain without seeing it. It's very easy to learn. Like the game, the rules of the game are easy. Mm-hmm. It's the strategy of the game that takes a while to develop because there's so many different strategies to win. There's not like one clear cut path to win. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty good, Trump.
That was pretty good, yes. Pretty much summarized the main parts. The only thing is DC is, but like that's not.
Yeah, you have these, like you can buy these like mystery cards, let's call them. Mm-hmm. And they have like different things on them that could help you win.
Yeah.
But you use the resources to buy those too. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of just moving around the board.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's like a similar game, but honestly, I can't think of one.
No.
Risk, maybe, but like, not really.
No, I think I have a game on my phone that's kind of the same way.
Okay.
It's like, I think it's called Township. And basically.
Yes. Okay, so that's similar, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or is that the one that you like, you have a shop?
Yeah, it's like you have like a little, like, you have cows and then you have sheep and then they make like the wheat and then the. Well, obviously they don't make the wheat. But like you have your own little. Think of like Minecraft.
Yeah, you have your own little like farm setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know you're. Okay, so it's kind of similar, but also very different. Because I know that game, Township.
Yeah.
It's more. Okay, combine that game with Risk, Monopoly, and Life. And that's basically the game we're playing.
Not gonna lie, I don't think I know what Risk is.
Risk is like, it's like the world map, and you're trying to conquer the world. But it's like, if Joey was on the United States and I was on Canada and I want to invade the United States, let's say, like, you do like a roll-off or something, and it's like the higher roll gets that territory. That one's a long game. Mm-hmm. I have not played that game in a while. I'm probably missing a lot more rules for that game.
No,
have you played Risk?
Not a long time.
No, yeah, that was a family favorite.
But yeah, Catan's definitely a notable game. Not only for this team, my team last year, we had probably 10 to 15 guys that would play.
Yeah, it's a popular game in pro hockey, I've learned. That's when I learned how to play.
Yeah.
The other one for us is Schnarps.
Yeah.
It's a card game. We play that on the boats. On the bus. On the bus.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically you have your cards. You're trying to like keep the same suit for the most part. Mm-hmm. Ace is high. And you're trying to win tricks out of five. You have five cards. And then you like go around calling how many tricks you think you're going to win. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a point system on like the piece of paper. If you get to zero, you win. If you get to 32, you're out.
So
that one
like
has
Uno?
A lot of...
No.
No, I would say closer to like poker.
It's like poker, but then it could also be like war with high card.
Yeah. It's like poker, it's like war, and like Go Fish, kind of.
Yeah, I tried to learn how to play watching them, and I couldn't.
There's an app that like we tell all the guys to download.
So then I had to download the app, and I played for like 2 weeks, and then I still was kind of lost when I came and played, but I was able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's like all of the questions I have for you guys.
Okay.
How did I do?
Nailed it.
Excellent, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, those are good questions.
They're good questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about them for a while, so they're definitely good questions.
I feel like it went faster. Oh, it's an hour.
All
right. Perfect. That might be a perfect interview right there, 1 hour.
Yeah. Wait, really?
On the dot. Interviews for me, like you had good questions, so like I like kind of forgot we were doing an interview.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that
was awesome.
So kind of just like shooting shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's nice to talk about subjects too, like out loud, personally. Like,
yeah.
Especially things you haven't revisited in a while.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, I'm glad you guys thought the questions were good. I'm glad.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, where is he going? Awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you. You guys are really nice.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I hope you guys have a nice day.
Yeah, you as well.
Thank you for listening to Mic'd Up with Sahara. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and follow for more interviews with amazing athletes and personalities. You can also check out my YouTube channel for more exclusive content, and all of my socials is @SaharaDestin. See you guys next time.